Welcome to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, the podcast where we uncover the secrets of CEOs, entrepreneurs, and visionaries who've used public speaking to skyrocket their businesses and their bottom line. Get ready for captivating stories, valuable insights, and practical wisdom from the trailblazers who've mastered the art of the stage. I'm your host, Kelly O'Hara, and I'm thrilled to bring you their experiences and expertise directly to you. Let's get started. You're listening to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, where we don't do fluff, filler, or recycled advice. This show, it's about real people using their voice to drive results on stages, in boardrooms, and across industry. I'm your host, Kelly O'Hara. And around here, we don't just talk about success. We talk about the guts, the grit, the strategy it takes to get there, especially when public speaking is part of the mix. Today's guest, it isn't just another success story. He chose a second act and built a whole new chapter of life and business that most people wouldn't even dare to write. Meet Jens Nielsen, a former IT pro turned real estate powerhouse turned high performance coach. After 25 years in a stable tech career, Jens didn't just reinvent himself. He burned the script and rewrote the whole story. In the last decade, he's become a partner in over 2,700 apartment units, valued at over $250 million. But that's not even the headline. The real transformation? He found his zone of genius in helping other people level up. Now, as a certified high-performance coach, Jens helps leaders get brutally honest about what they want, build a life that matches the vision, not just the goals, and create momentum that actually sticks. He's here today to talk about the real work behind vision-driven success and why clarity is non-negotiable and how public speaking has been a force multiplier in his own journey. Plus, he's got a killer free vision building worksheet on his website, and we'll talk about how you can grab that too. So let's get into it. Jens Nielsen, I want to welcome you to the spotlight. So glad you're here.
Thanks, Kelly. I'm really excited about our conversation today.
I am too. I love it when people cross over to different industries so successfully, and you have done that so well. You spent over two decades in IT. What was the moment that you looked around and said, yeah, this isn't it anymore for me? What was pulling you towards something bigger? And for so many people out there who don't know, I hate this, but I want to do something else, or I'm done doing this, I want something else. What was it for you that was pulling you towards your next something bigger?
Yeah, I almost get goosebumps when that question is being asked of me, because it was such a huge thing, right? And this is like 10 years ago that I got that something had to change. As you said, after 25 years in a career, I realized that it was another 20 years. I was in my mid-40s. If I had to retire another 20 years in IT, and I didn't have the passion for it anymore. I didn't have the energy to keep staying educated and with all the changes, especially now with AI, I couldn't even imagine what it's like. So I was looking for something else, but everything else looked like a new job. It was just a consultant or something, a new career. And it's like, why do I want to do that in my 40s change? Until I realized that the first step was real estate, because I needed to decouple my time from my income, right? Everybody dreams of passive income. Very few people achieve it, because you have to have assets that generate money when you're sleeping, right? So that's the first piece of it. And then as I started getting into that, I realized, oh, real estate investing is not about just the numbers and the underwriting. It's actually about having the right mindset around how to get into this business. And that drew me towards the mentoring and the coaching and the consulting and so forth, right? So left my W-2 job, I think it's 5-6 years ago now, and I haven't looked back.
Love that. So many people are afraid to make that move unless it's so uncomfortable that something gets really loud inside. So you were really preemptive in having to wait until it got really dark. You've made some massive pivots in your life. Were you familiar with real estate investing at the time? Was that something you had a comfort zone or a zone of experience in?
Not really. 10 years ago, I didn't own a rental property. I think bought my first one in 2016. And it was not something I'm familiar with, but having an analytical mind, I started reading books, listening to podcasts, and I started learning. I was like, oh, this is not so complicated. It's pretty straightforward once you start understanding it. And then I reached out to the community, to people I knew, to start really learning about it and surrounding myself with the right team, both brokers and lenders and property managers. And that's what led me to being successful in this space, just leveraging other people.
Leveraging other people. So you didn't have to go in and have all the money to invest. I mean, 2,700 units, that's crazy. So you were doing this within a partnership model or a joint venture model.
Yeah, basically raising money from different people to buy these properties. I know it looks like a large number. I don't own them all by myself, but because then I'll probably be sitting on a beach somewhere talking to you. But yes, leverage, you know, it's basically private equity, leveraging other people's money. Who wants to get into real estate doesn't want to do the hard work. We go in there and we buy the properties and manage them for them and so forth. Plus, I own some stuff in my own portfolio. Me and my wife own our own portfolio as well, and some joint ventures, done all a different kind. But that's basically how we get into it. It's not me buying it all by myself, you know.
So you did have some experience of your own in real estate, but you were really doing it all. It's not just joint venturing with other people with their money. It's also about you handling some of the tough parts of that job.
For sure. I started out, you know, to get the experience by putting my own money at risk and to work. And once that I saw that over the first few years, I said, okay, this is possible. Then I started, you know, slowly bringing in investors and partners and so forth. And you're absolutely right. There's ups and downs in it. Right now, interest rates are high, expenses are high. So this is a challenging time. So we have to go through and have the wherewithal to deal with the ups and the downs in this business and in any other business, right? And that's something that I really focus on working with my clients, that, hey, it may look good on paper, but you got to be ready to deal with the tough stuff as well.
So good. And what I liked about your story, a lot of people chase goals, they do, but you really teach people how to build a vision. When did you realize the difference between chasing success and designing a life? And that's powerful.
Yes, I interrupted. Yeah, absolutely. Because we're taught entrepreneurship and in other, you got to have goals. You got to have all these amazing goals and 10x your goals and all these things. But too often people create goals without really designing, as you said, a life around it. So I want X number of dollars in the bank or fancy cars or houses, whatever it is. But we forget to think about the vision. Are we actually creating a life that's going to support these goals? For example, I have a partner. He's like, oh, I really wish I could leave. He lives in the northern part of the country. I wish I could leave to go on vacation every winter because I don't like the snow and cold, but he hasn't created a business that allows him to do that. So we get stuck in what we create. And I'm Kelly, I created some of that stuff myself, where I'm a little bit stuck in certain areas. So I'm stepping back and creating, because I feel the pain myself at times, which helps me to work with clients to say, okay, don't create a life that does not, or business that does not support the life you want, the relationships, the health, the family, the travel, whatever it is that lights you up.
It's such an important concept right now, and such an important plan is the vision. It's not just vision and lifestyle. What is the life design that you want? And I think you and I would agree that people will put that dollar sign at the very front of their goal list. And I'm here to tell you, it won't keep you warm at night. It won't keep your family happy. It won't keep that marriage together. Because the bigger issue is time. What are you giving away to get that money? And not to say money is important. I mean, none of us plan to be around. We had no idea that we might be living to 100, 105. God forbid. No thanks. That is a lot to fund between now and then. Now, really, the bigger decision when you get older is, where do I want to spend my time? And money's not enough. That's not enough of a payoff anymore. It might be a necessity, but it is not. Building a vision is so much more fun than achieving a goal, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And as you, I was reflecting on that. So when before we started recording, I was talking about how I was in Colorado last week. The part I didn't share was my sister and her family from Denmark, all five of them came to visit, right? So we spent some time here. I live in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Plus we traveled up to Colorado. Had I not created a location independent business with other partners and stuff, it would have been hard for me to take 2 weeks and not be just working the whole time. So that's a blessing. I think a couple of years ago, I think we traveled 7 weeks because we created some of that, right? So that's what we need to think about. What's important, right? And to me, having come from overseas, grew up in Denmark, it's important to me to travel back to visit family members and so forth, right? And that's hard if you don't think about what's important and you just create a business to make you money, but make you that also makes you miserable in the process.
Exactly. You want to put it in the plan and really detail it. What is it that brings you joy? Whether it's painting, whether it's travel with your family, whether it's going back to see family in Denmark, put that as part of the plan, not, well, yeah, when I get this money, I'm certainly going to go to Denmark. No, I'm going to Denmark every 2 years, regardless. It's non-negotiable. It's part of the vision. And then you find out, really, a lot of things start to move around to allow for that. That's been my experience. And certainly what I share with people as well is be sure that you make that an integral, non-negotiable part of your vision or your, I hate the word goal list. I just do. It's so not interesting because a vision of ongoing and it's always evolving and it changes as life changes and as your family changes. Goal is, okay, we've gotten the gold star, we've gotten the trophy. It's not quite as interesting. But so you start this company called Velox Solutions, and it really helps leaders operate at a higher level. But what patterns do you see again and again that really keep smart people stuck?
So from personal experience, right, I feel like we get more conservative the older we get, right? Because you're in your in your 20s, you're like, whatever, I don't have anything to lose. Then your 30s, you bring up your families in the 40s. And then suddenly you're like, you're so, especially if you've been a W-2 employee, you're just stuck in this rat race and this fear of the change, the fear of the, what if it goes wrong? What if I'm not good enough? What if whatever I try doesn't work out? So that's what get people stuck, right? They can't really get outside of that. I've had clients that are like, oh yeah, I want to invest in real estate so I can retire, but they never take the action. I was like, you've been working with me you spend all this money, you work, why are you not taking action? It's because of all that fear, right? That's what I feel holds people back the most. And then that comes back to the vision. Once they create a compelling enough vision, an absolutely must that is so painful if they don't do it, then we start getting some change, right? Because most people are comfortable. We got to get a little bit out of that. We got to feel some pain of where we are so we can have the motivation to move to the new thing.
Brilliant point. People get comfortable in their discomfort. And yet to get out of it, you got to ratchet it up a bit and become more uncomfortable and take a chance. And I always say to my peeps, I always say, listen, I'm certainly someone who has the 3 o'clock in the morning, what if this happens? Or what do I do if is what I call it, my what do I do if moment. If this happens, then how will I react to that? If this happens, what plan will I have in place? Because I'm an event producer from a long time ago. So it's plan A, plan B, and plan C. I want to manage all things, right? So I laugh at that, but I think that what if are you 100% right on this risk? Are you 0%? You at least ought to think this has, if it has possibility, won't it be fun to work on? If it doesn't work, okay, you'll adjust. You'll come up with something, you know, somewhere that's a little bit honed better. But God, if you don't try it, you'll regret it.
That's right.
I love that you're coaching very much. It's grounded in clarity and strategic execution. But what is the powerful question you often ask your clients that gets them completely unstuck or gets them moving towards being unstuck?
You just talked about regret, right? You talked about we live it to 100, whatever, as a man, whatever, 80, 90, 100 years old. Do you want to look back at on your deathbed and say, okay, I didn't try. I did not apply myself. I played too small. I didn't take the risk. Is that what you want to look at? Or do you want to say, you know, I worked my corporate job for 40 years and retired with the gold watch? You know, which avenue do you want here? Because most people can see if they continue in this way, they can, yeah, it's going to be this path. This new area like entrepreneurship or side gigs or whatever it is, that's where the excitement is. That's where the risk is. This is where the growth is. And I had a great conversation with a client today about an amazing vision he has for creating this community and stuff like that. And I said, Tom, if you don't do that, well, actually, I think the conversation was, what is it you want to look back at 90 and say that, wow, I really created something really amazing here?
There's a mindset to this. I love it that we're having this conversation because I believe the day that you die, you're laying on your deathbed. I don't believe anybody ever says, boy, I wish I'd worked another day. I don't think anybody says that. I think they say, I wish I'd spent more time with my kids, or that my wife and I had traveled more, or that we had spent more time doing ABC, or we had this sport we liked and we kept backburning it. And the thing about the entrepreneur, not everybody's an entrepreneur. It's true. They aren't, and nor should they be. It's a certain mindset. I'm one. I come from a family of entrepreneurs. Not everybody is. Some of them like the safety of corporate jobs and they like the surety of that. But the entrepreneur usually isn't thinking about the money. The entrepreneur is usually thinking about the adventure. And whether it turns out well or turns out as planned is usually pretty irrelevant unless you took a horrible dive that cost you your whole financial future. And it usually doesn't work like that. It's the excitement of giving something a try, having an idea and working with other people and making something happen. That's like life well lived, I think, for a lot of people.
Yeah. And I think the other thing when you are on your deathbed, right? Did I serve enough? Did I serve enough people, communities, faith, whatever it may be, right? I think that's a question we also have to ask ourselves, especially as we get older, service in the name of something that's important to us.
True. I used to see a lot of, I would do events and I would host these big events and they would have charities that would come and be involved in it. And I remember flippantly back then that we used to say the blue-haired ladies, the people that all went to work for the churches and the service organizations. You know what? Because they got the realization that the young people don't get often is, no, getting involved and joining hands with other people to be able to make a difference in your community or in this particular arena or with this particular group of people is what feels so much more satisfying. It makes you feel like, oh, this is why I was here, because I could make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love this. So what's something you wish that more people understood about vision that's not the Instagram vision, but the real unsexy kind of necessary part of it?
That, as you say, it evolves, right? But it's not about goals. It's about feeling and experiences and emotions and so forth, right? So it's a very kind of, it's a heart-based exercise, not a head-based exercise, if you will, right?
I can tell you love it. I can tell this is really your lane and it's exciting for you. By the way, I was thinking about this as you were talking. People never talk about when they make the money, when they hit the goal, right? Rarely do people talk about, wow, and now I'm a multimillionaire. I made $5 million on that deal. They really don't talk about that. What they talk about was the struggle. They talk about oh my God, I almost lost it all. Or I lost the first three companies, and they tell you a great story about it. They're not talking about the final success. It's not all that interesting.
Yeah.
The storytelling behind it, the journey of it is what really connects people, not only to their own story, but to other people who say, wow. Tell me about, this show is so much about public speaking and how you incorporate that into what you do. Has public speaking made a difference for you?
Oh, absolutely. And as we were talking about this, especially the vision thing, I think the most A recent example that kind of blew my mind was being real estate. So I have credibility around real estate. So I was invited to speak at a real estate meetup a little while ago. And I'm in front of, I don't know, 60, 70 people that are all real estate investors. Like, forget about real estate. I'm not going to tell you how to buy a house or a duplex or an apartment. I'm going to ask you to step back and say, why are you doing this? So I took them through my vision building exercise, spent like a whole hour going through it. It's basically what's in that vision book that I have on my website. But I took them through it. And how often do you see people cry at a real estate investing meetup? Not very often, unless it gets emotional. I mean, not like they were bawling, but there was a few people got a little bit emotional because they're like, wow, I'm doing it for my kids. I'm doing it for my financial future. And I grew up poor and I want to make a difference, whatever it may be, right? Once they started realizing that, you then put the energy towards the stuff that's going to move you forward. So that was a great experience. And then it translated into a couple of coaching clients too, because they're like, I want more of this, right? Don't tell me how to buy real estate. I can figure that out, but tell me how to become a high performing individual. That was really exciting.
It's beautiful. That is a really good explanation of how public speaking can make a difference. You're not just up there as a chatterbox. If you can have people feel what you have learned as a speaker, and clearly you are able to get people in touch with their vision when they didn't even know what their vision was. That's powerful. So I'm super glad to hear that. Now you have these people that want to get into the business of real estate or something else. Do you encourage them also to follow the public speaking track?
No, I think there's a journey for some people, right? I've worked with people that came to me because they wanted to invest in real estate and they realized, oh, I have a message to share here. So over time, I have one client, he created his own event, a real estate event where he gets to speak and his guests gets to speak. So it's a calling. I think it's a calling for that service, that sharing, that then has led some people to start their own and do that. It takes, as you, Kelly, it takes a certain person to have the courage to stand up in front of a group of people. And do you feel comfortable being vulnerable enough to share and make the mistakes and all these things? So a few people have done it in their growth.
On the type of stage, there's so many different things available. Yes, you could go speak in a real estate forum or some kind of conference, and that's a bigger experience. But for example, you can get on podcasting and have a one-on-one conversation. And wouldn't you agree, Jens, that I love this particular platform because it's very intimate. It really is just having a conversation. And the people listening to that particular podcast are really going to walk away having a feel for who you are, what you do, and whether they like you or not. And leads to trust. And so I know that if people are listening to this and they had a chance to see you on YouTube or listen to you, they have a sense of you.
Yeah. No, it's a good point, actually. You know, I have had clients that have started their own podcasts or been guests on podcasts too. And I think maybe as you and I having an intimate conversation here, we forget that there are people listening and so forth, right? So it creates a different level of trust and security versus standing up on a stage in front of a lot of people. And that was something I'm probably a little bit of an introvert, right? Also, me and my partners, we run an event in Denver, also a real estate event. And it was challenging for me to go up and be one of the co-founders and opening the events and speak on different topics. It was very painful for me first to do that because I've never been comfortable. But now I realized, you know, once I am in front, once I am certain about the topic and I'm prepared and I'm ready to go, I love it now. This is something that has really transformed my self, what do you call it, assurance or my confidence in standing up in front of groups.
Such an important point to make because I too am an introvert as well. So the worst part about it, I think, for introverts is the anticipation and the concern about getting up there, whatever your reasons are. You're afraid you're going to be judged. You're afraid you're not going to do well. You're afraid you're going to forget something. There's a ton of reasons why it's horrible. But once you get up there, it's great. And I always encourage people, listen, here's the thing. If this is the thing you're most scared of, it's the thing you must do. Because if you do it, it will change your life. You will have conquered a fear. You will have conquered something that had the best of you. It got the best of you. But if you can get up there and do it, and it feels like walking on a tightrope the first time you do it, and then you realize, this isn't such a big deal. It's really the worry about it getting up there that is so horrid. And I understand that. I certainly used to have that. It was terrifying. It's a long time ago, but boy, I'm all about, listen, conquer your fear. If you do it in this area, it will change everything in the other areas that you're in. Everything else gets easier. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. The old saying is, your amazing life lies on the other side of discomfort.
Yes, it's so true. I love it that you brought a gift for the audience. I always love when our guests bring us something powerful that can change their lives or make something easier or bring into view something that they might not have thought of. And you have a vision building worksheet. I would love for you to share what it is, how it will help people, what it'll help them do, and why is this the first step?
Yeah, so as our conversation has gone along a lot through the vision building and how important that is, I think anytime you are either specifically if you want to change your life, if you're on a path that doesn't serve you, step back and think about your vision for what experiences do you want, right? That could be experiences such as travel or relationships or things you want, houses, cars, or whatever you're interested in. What are the experiences you want? So that's always the first thing we want to look about. How do you need to grow? How do you need to grow in order to get those experiences? If you want to be a public speaker, the experience of standing in front of on a stage, if you have never done it, you're going to have to get some education or try a trial and error, whatever that looks like. So how do you need to grow? Because the old saying is, what's got you to here is not going to get you to where you need to be. So you have to have that growth piece in there, right? How do you want to contribute? How do you want to impact? When you lie in your deathbed, what kind of impact would you have liked to have in your life? And that needs to be in there too, right? So if we combine those two, including what people we want in our life, why is all these things important? Once we put all those things together, we can create a very compelling story brand, a story of the life that we want to have in front of us, especially if we're changing. Or if you feel like you're doing well, it's still something you should look at every year at least to go through that.
Oh, true. Really? Because the vision changes. But the exciting thing is it's evolving as you evolve. So I love that you're doing this. How do people get their hands on this? Where do they go and what can they expect when they download it?
Yeah. So just go to my website, Jens Nielsen. That's JensNielsen. .us. And it should pop up. The little pop-up should come in. Just name and email. And the link will be emailed to you. And it's just it's a 10-page PDF. Actually, at the end, there's a link to a little YouTube video I record that takes you through a meditation after you've gone through and written out the other questions. So it's just a few pages of writing some different things down. It's pretty straightforward. Give yourself half an hour to get the most out of it.
Great. Mindset is so important to anything that you want to do. And having a tool like this, it could be so amazing. When you look back at all the pivots you made in different industries and really had the courage to do it, what advice would you give your younger self, the guy who was working in IT before everything changed?
Just have more confidence in my own ability to figure stuff out.
Really? What are you most proud of? Deep down.
Just, I'm most proud of all the people I've impacted. Multiple people that I've worked with have quit their jobs, started their own businesses, new careers, just the change I've had on other people. That is, all the apartment units doesn't really matter if, you know, the impact of what's important to me, right? And that's what really, if I can get people to change their lives, have better relationships, whatever it may be, that really fuels me. And then I think the other part is that trying new things, right? This spring, I invited a client to go to Paris, France with me for a few days to a very intensive coaching session. He loved it. That's the best trip I've ever been on. I was like, Amazing. Let's do more of that.
Doesn't that feel good when you've hit it? It just resonates on such on multiple levels, but it's deep. It runs deep. Friends, I just want to thank you for coming on the show. Honestly, I'm really excited for you that you brought this cool gift. But I love that you brought a lot of clarity to the chaos about this. And it's an inspiring story. But more important, I think that you've brought a blueprint for what it looks like to rewrite the rules and actually win on your own terms. That's a beautiful message that you've sent.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
It's good to have you. And I love it that you've given people a lot to chew on. A couple standouts for me are really the idea that goals without vision, really, they just end up being really expensive distractions. And then stepping into the life you actually want and get really honest about what it is that you want with your intention and not just ambition. So for everybody out there that wants to know more from Jens, go to jensnielsen.us. It's JensNielsen.us. I will definitely have this in the show notes. And while you're there, grab his vision building worksheet. It's free. And if you're stuck or you're spinning or you're just needing to get really laser focused, that's a tool that might be the flashlight you didn't know you needed. So Jens is solid proof. Your voice, when it's used with purpose, it really can reshape not only your business, but you know, really your identity and your legacy, because your mind will be in the right place and you'll be addressing a vision, not just a goal. And that's what this show's about. It's about showing you how powerful public speaking can be when it's grounded in who you are and where you're going with intention. So if this episode got you thinking, or better yet, got you moving, please let us know and share it. We like to share our guests and the information that they have and that they brought to us. And we want to help get the word out. So please do that. Take a moment. We're so lucky to have people on this show that have such diverse talents and who make a difference with their work and with their vision and with their community. So clearly you can do that too. And that's what we invite you to do. So thanks again, Yen. And to all of you out there for tuning in, I love having you on the show. It's like having guests to dinner. I love having you. And with that said, have a great week. I can't wait till we have our next conversation, and we'll see you next time. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight. We hope you enjoyed this deep dive once again into the remarkable stories and insights of our incredible guests. Their experiences and hard-earned, time-tested wisdom are not just meant to inspire you, but to provide you with actionable steps to take on your own path to success. Remember, you have a story to tell, and your voice has the power to transform your business and make lasting impact. And that's what it's all about. If you found value in today's episode, let us know. And I hope you'll take a moment and subscribe to The Spotlight wherever you listen to your podcasts, so you never miss a thought-provoking or idea-producing conversation. I'm Kelly O'Hara, and I can't wait to see you back here for the next episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight.